Hi, everybody. This is Tim Cole for AvWeb.com. We're at AirVenture 2018. We're sitting down with Michael Fuchs, President and CEO of EPS Diesel, and his co-founder, Stephen Weinzierl, Vice President, Chief Technology Officer. And we're going to talk about the EPS Diesel project. Michael, let's start with you. Let's start at the beginning. How did you come up with this design? What was the inspiration and the impetus for launching what is a pretty formidable project?
Well, thank you very much, Tim, for talking to us here today. It's always a pleasure to be at the EAA, and to getting our news story out is always great. So Steve and I, we are both somewhat aviation enthusiasts. Steve comes from a family that was flying quite a lot in the past, and I studied aeronautics. So when we were starting to do engineering business here in the United States, we circled back to aviation. And one of the challenges we had ahead of us was we needed to find a diesel engine replacement for a helicopter engine, and there we had the challenge that it needed to go into the same package environment as the existing aircraft, and that was the general idea of coming up with our 180-degree V8 design we have at this point in time.
That original project with Robinson Helicopters, do I have that right?
Well, you know, that particular project was started with Robinson Helicopter at the time, so the talks with him was for sure helpful to point us in this direction. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So what you're calling the V180, if I have that nomenclature correct, really started with form factor and the ability to put the engine into the right package.
That's correct. I mean, if you look at the industry today, and if you want to take off your engineering hat and put your business hat on, you have to recognize that every engine slot that's available is around a boxer configuration. So anything that's flat will fit and go into existing aircrafts and new aircrafts. And simply the aircraft market is too small for a complete new design if you are not fitting into this form factor.
Stephen, I just wanted to ask you, I mean, one of the hallmarks of the EPS Diesel project is the fact that it is designed as an aircraft engine first. It is not a conversion.
That's absolutely correct. One of the advantages that Michael and I had was approximately 20 years each in bringing other people's engine to market. We have a little bit different backgrounds. I spent the early years of formative years of my engineering life at Polaris Industries. Michael was always doing significant consulting and automotive projects. So when we began to look at any engineering problem, we defined it first and then set out to design an engine. And the inception of this, we thought about converting an automotive engine. We learned early on we just could not make the weight target or form factor. And so that set us on that path. Mm-hmm.
And what are some of the principal features of the EPS Diesel that really make it stand apart?
Well, first of all, we centered around the combustion ignition cycle here, compression ignition engine cycle, which is the diesel cycle. So that's the first thing. Just because it gives us the ability to fly in every continent. Avgas is whether you like it or not, is probably going to fade away or it's going to be too costly. So having an alternative on the table is one of the key drivers. The other key elements we are looking at is for sure the form factor, but also intelligent material choices and the integration of several functions into one or two components. To give you an example, we have a steel crankcase. It's compacted graphite iron. You can cast this at 1/8 of an inch or 3.1 millimeter thickness. And this is going to give us great strength advantages and reliability. And we are going to be capable of rehoning, reboring, and rehoning again. So we have a complete overhaul crankcase available at this point in time. Together with the electronics, with the redundant ECU we have from Bosch and their fuel system, the common rail fuel system, I think we have some winning attributes on our hand.
Will this be an overhaulable diesel engine? I mean, some of the diesel engines we see out there now are time between replacement. Will this be time between overhaul?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's designed from very inception to be overhauled. We had experience with aluminum crankcases, and I think the aviation community has experience with crankcase fatigue and cracking. So just imagine when the pressure in the engine is roughly three times the cylinder pressure what's today. we wanted an engine that was completely overhaulable, so no fatigue threads that would hold the cylinder heads on. The bores are simply reboard and plateau honed, as Michael said, so we can create a complete new running surface, bearing bores, everything that the engine requires, and rebuild it.
What do you think the TBO will be on this engine when it's set up and run? Some maturity behind it?
That's always a ticklish question. I think Michael touched a little bit in the press conference this morning about it. We intend all the features that we've integrated with the liquid cooling, the distortion-free bores, the steel piston, would point us to a location where we think we can achieve a 3,000-hour TBO. We won't be out of the box, as any new engine won't be by the rules of the FAA, but we expect to work towards that as we develop ours with fleets and things like that that give us the confidence to extend the overall times.
You were quite fortunate in securing the talents of Dick Rutan to be your flight test pilot in an SR-22. And how did it fit in the SR-22 package when you were setting it up?
Actually, it did fit very well into the package, and we were fortunate at the time that we were working with even the tighter package of the Gen 2 aircraft, naturally aspirated air service at the time. So that being said, we were working with a more complicated environment, just because the cowling was a little bit tighter. So achieving the milestone of putting our engine into this tighter cowl was a great success, and we basically were flying our proof of concept engine with Dick Rutan in Mojave in 2014, I think the flight test results we've gotten just using our proof of concept engines were just phenomenal. And we hope to redo this with the upcoming conforming engines towards the fall, beginning of next year.
Did you meet your goals in terms of power output and cooling?
Yes, we were basically flying with the 10% rule, so we were concentrating us at the time, I think, up to 340 horsepower for this particular aircraft, and we had no issues during July climbing out of Mojave.
Mm-hmm. So at this point, what's next for EPS Diesel? You've obviously gone through some significant milestones if you've got a flying engine. What is it going to take to achieve production and move it into the general aviation fleet, which needs this engine pretty badly, I would think?
Well, we made the decision early on that we were going to pursue the certificated engine market. And so we're going through all of the typical teething pains of getting an engine through type certification and subsequently into production certification. What is it going to take? It simply continues to take monetary resources. We're continually searching for the investment that will take us over the top. We have many opportunities now that are identified that we think will get us there. But as we can also say that the process has gotten complicated in some places, and we've had to adjust and move our strategies to allow us to succeed, mm-hmm. both from a technological standpoint, but from an organizational standpoint, and bringing our organization up to the type of quality systems that are necessary and all the others. So Michael, do you have anything to add to that?
Yes, I do. I mean, to be honest, we have a successful straight of milestones we have achieved, and that was very helpful when we had our first setback last year, when we were looking into some certification aspects where we had to see that the readiness level wasn't there. So we did what we do as engineers. We basically assessed the situation, we looked at what can we do to fix it, and then we started to apply the fix so that we can say at this point in time we are back on track. Unfortunately, since we are completely investor-based financed yet, we are shipping no products, that slowed down our fundraising, but as Steve just mentioned, we are back on track with this as well, and we can move on. So what's left at this point in time is we need to just finish up the conforming engine assemblies. We do have the necessary software to run block testing and environmental testing in-house already. We need to finish up the conformity of our test setups. Basically, that's a paperwork exercise, and then we can get at this in the next couple of weeks and execute the final tests and get to type certification. So I think next year, Tim, when we sit together, we can talk about what kind of first STC products we picked and why, and who's our first OEM customer.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thanks very much, Michael Fuchs, President and CEO of EPS Diesel, and Stephen Weinzierl, Vice President, Chief Technology Officer, co-founders of EPS Diesel, innovators in the world of aviation engines here at AirVenture 2018. For AvWeb.com, I'm Tim Cole. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.